in the midst of that, I felt the Lord give me this scripture and this passage of scripture to share. So isn't that good when God drops stuff into your heart and into your spirit?
Yes.
So this is what I'm going to go through this morning, because I'm actually going to go through things that Jesus was talking to his disciples about. And why did he do that? Because he wanted to prepare them for walking out life with the Spirit of the living God inside them when he had gone. So it was principles of life that he was underlining, or you could say, listen to me guys, I'm impacting you with this because you're going to need this knowledge once I'm no longer here. So to me, that's wisdom. Yeah? When God actually gives you something in principles that he has placed in his word, they're there for a reason, and they're there for our benefit, because it's going to benefit you. And in benefiting you, it's going to benefit the people you come into connection with. And it's going to benefit those that you lead into the kingdom. Because how many of you know that we're not just here on a nice ride with Jesus all the way through to when he returns, and then this life's over and we get to live the new life? If you think that's what's all it's about, then you've missed the mark. You've missed the trainings and the teachings of Jesus, or maybe you haven't even spent time studying them or looked at them, and you're maybe not aware of the fact that you've been called with a dual assignment to actually go out there and to actually minister on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's no pressure in this, but at the same time, there is a requirement. So, you cannot be lax about your intentional purposes of why you're really here. It's not about work. It's not about living 70 years and then plus.
Plus.
70 plus. Amen. We'll go with the plus. And then you pass out of this generation and you go into the next. That's not the whole goal. That's not the whole picture. Because Jesus has told us that we are actually reapers, and what you sow is what you reap. But if you never ever get the principles of that, and you never ever sow, will you ever reap? No. Does a farmer sow seed with the expectancy that it's maybe going to grow, and that maybe some point in the future I'll get to harvest this? No. He is intentional, because he knows that if he puts the seeds in the ground, he does the labor of digging and trenching and then putting the seeds in the ground, that the water will come, the sun will come, and out of the ground growth will come, and then he gets a harvest of abundance, so that he actually gets into his own storehouse what he has worked into. And out of that, he gets to give away part of what he has earned, and he gets to keep for himself as well. So it's a balance in life. So there's reaping and sowing. But Jesus here talks about, and I'm going to take you to Matthew chapter 7. That's in the New Testament. So I want us to look at this morning about the things that Jesus is actually sharing with his disciples. Why did he share them? What was the reasons for it? And what can we glean this morning? Because these words are just as much applicable today as they were for the disciples. Amen? So chapter 7 and verse 1, that first segment, it speaks about judging. And it's basically about, don't judge someone about the speck that they've got in their eye when you maybe have a log sitting out of your own eye. And if you judge them because of that, then as you measure out judgment will come back to you. So he's actually saying, be wise in this, and not go after the person just because you think you are something. And you know, look at them. Look at how they do that. Don't you realize you need to get a proper job? And so you're actually prejudging, when that's the fact you're so blinded by the big log that you've got in your eyes that you're actually not, you shouldn't be judging them at all. You should be dealing with the log that's in your own eye before you ever think you've got a right to speak into someone else's life. So he starts off with this, just be wary, be careful, and then he goes into this whole segment from verse 7, and it's the whole, I'm going to read this for you. Verse 7 onwards, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you, For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. But like Roberts last week, you call it in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. You're asking for something to come. And how many testimonies were there this morning of things that have come in since you actually declared that statement? That's scripture, just an action, just right there. And then verse 9, or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law of the prophets. So he rolls out of this whole thing about not judging because of the speck in the pan scenario, and then he rolls into actually asking, and the fact that because you're a child of God, if you ask, you get an answer. And he'll answer you quicker because he's a heavenly father, he's not an earthly father, but he enforces the fact that even an earthly father, if someone comes to him and says, can I have some bread, he's not even going to give him a stone, is he? I mean, most of your parents up here, you wouldn't do that. It's just not in you because there's a need and you know your child needs something, so you will give on to the children because they're yours. They're part of your bloodline. They're part of your inheritance. So how much more is the Father in heaven actually saying to us as church, saying, if you ask, I'm going to give. So my Maserati is on the way. But the flip side of that, that's true, but the flip side of that is, why do I need a Maserati?
Why not?
So if I'm asking God for a Maserati, then, you know, what's my motives? Why do I want it? I want it to look good as I drive around Christchurch? Or, you know, so you've got to have your motives right when you're asking the Father for stuff, because he won't give to you as a father what's not good for you. So I'm not saying that getting a Maserati is wrong, but there's principles behind his giving, and if he thinks it's not a wise thing to give you that now, at that particular time of your life, then he will withhold that from you. Because he's a good father.
I guess it's the same as the children. If they're young enough, they won't. But if they're old enough,
they're
wise.
It's like, I spoke with Sharon last night, and I said, where's Noah? I was speaking with Alana, and I said, where's Noah at? Oh, he's on time out. I said, why is he on time out? What's he done? He said he was playing with a lighter and he flicked it and lit it right in his sister's face. And if it had caught her hair. So again, you know, I'm not saying that he asked to have a lighter to play with, but again, it's a principle. You don't give something to someone you know hasn't got the wisdom yet to handle properly what the gift would be. Yeah? So you get the principle in that. And then we move on from that and we get to verse 13. Now enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. So there's a principle. What do you think he's really meaning by that? Well, I think he's meaning that to find the way of Jesus, to find the way, because he is the way, the truth, and the life, it's a narrow gateway that he has provided, because the world is so intent on going its own way that it creates this broad, broad road, and everybody's on and they hey, come on with me, we're going down to clubs, we're going down to have a good night. And it all shines on the surface. That sounds really good. What's wrong with going to the, you know, for a club night and having a few bevvies and hanging out with my friends? You know, and in principle, I'm not saying that there's anything so wrong with that, but it is the broad way because it encompasses everybody, and it says, come with me, this journey will be fun. And yet the Lord's saying, when you actually find me, who is the way, the truth, and life, in me is everything that you will need. In me is your salvation. In me is your redirection of your life. And these places you don't need to go to because of the fact that You now have a new one who looks at you and walks with you. He says, walk my ways. Because I am the Son of God, who is actually the Son of your Creator, the very one that brought you into a being. And he knows best. Do you think he does?
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, no creator of a product doesn't put everything into it that he's got. I mean, an engineer will put everything right down to the finest mill of detail, of precision, accuracy that thing will require to make it operate and function well. So God knew everything about us. He knew all about how we would live life as sons or daughters here on the earth. And by the way, all people on the earth are his sons and daughters. The only difference between them is the fact that we have come into a relationship with Jesus, but it doesn't make the person who's outside this building today any less a son or a daughter of God. They're still his treasure. They're still his possession. And that's where we get the command to go, because the Lord wants them in his kingdom, and he's given us a voice to use to go and tell them some of the good stories. I mean, like the stories we have heard this morning about when you ask God for something and he turns up. That's a story you've got that you can go and share with your neighbor, because it carries power, because they're not used to people who talk the way we talk. They're used to just, hey, come on, let's go club it. It's great. They're not used to someone saying, hey, let me tell you about another side at that point. Let me tell you about this God who actually, when I ask him for stuff, brings it to me. So you've got the testimony of Jesus in you. You've got a powerhouse of stories to actually tell the people that they will not have heard before. And you've got the ability to fish and hook by your stories that you have to share. You all have stories. There's not one in this room that doesn't have a story that he couldn't walk out of this room today and stop someone and say, let me tell you this story. Yeah?
Amen.
Hands off those that don't have a story. See, we've all got stories. The problem is we need to shift from not sharing to look for opportunities to share. Because even in your workplace, there will be opportunities. And if you don't think there is, you ask God. And God will soon make them come around. So, it's all there for the asking. So then, out of that, so there's this narrow way, and there's the narrow way that we have found, but in actual fact, some of us love drifting back into the broad way of the old way, because it seems more comfortable and it seems, well, everybody else is doing it, so why shouldn't I? And in fact, as church, there is a whole sense that we draw back from the broad way, because his way is our way, and we should be in his way, not a broad way. Salvation, we actually enter into it because everything changed, everything shifted. And we were excited because that burden of all our past and all the stuff we've done, Jesus took that away because of his death on Calvary. Because he paid a big price to give you freedom, to wash your slate clean so that you're free. So you felt initially, wow, come on. And I want to tell somebody about what God's done to me. But after a few years, what happens is you begin to actually just do life again, because life is just stumbling along and you think there's nothing much happening. And in actual fact, you've got sucked back in by a world's concept because you haven't stayed close enough to this concept of the Lord. And so that's where your ability to be in the quiet place and with him and listening to him is so important. Because if you're not talking to him, then you're not requiring him to answer. Yeah? It's 101. It's like basics. And so Jesus is just preparing his disciples to be careful. Don't get sucked back into the broad way, because I have made the way available to you. And you should pursue the way, not the broad way. So then, from that part of scripture, then he goes in verse 15. Now, verse 15 onward is quite interesting, because that and the part that runs straight after is almost like two warnings to the disciples. So let's look at this. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. So he's been very clear here that there will be false prophets that will come, but what they'll be like inside is not what they appear to be on the outside. So you need to be aware of the fact that there's stuff going on around you that that may look good, but you need your discernment from the Holy Spirit to say, I don't really feel at ease around this person, or I don't know why, but there's something when I'm around them. And they, everything looks good and sounds good, but when I'm around them, there's something just not... You know what I mean by that? You've had that experience where you just sense something off somebody, and you just... I don't know. So you reserve and you hold back until you get a broader picture. So... Yeah. Yeah. So you will know them by their fruits. So he just doesn't leave you there and think, well, what about this? He actually tells you how to actually discern. So he says, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So he's using a very practical demonstration to say, this is how vivid, this is how clear this will be. Do not worry, because it will be so obvious that they will trip themselves up, because those that portray that they're walking in light when they're actually walking in darkness will trip themselves up, because they're trying to produce fruit that they can't produce. But that comes to the surface all the time. More so because if they try and hang around us, because as children of the light, light exposes darkness. So what they try and hide cannot be hidden. So their fruit will be seen. Amen? So every good tree bears good fruit. But the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. So he's enforcing this whole principle here. It's just not possible. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them, so then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father who is in heaven will enter. Then it gets really interesting. He says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now I'll come back to this in a little bit, because I know it's got you, it's like your appetite. Let's just read on. Verse 24. Therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, so that's very important here, everyone who hears words of Jesus and acts on them, may be compared to a wise man who builds his house on a rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The wisdom is in walking in the narrow way so that you're always in his presence, not getting dragged back into the broad way, which will lead to danger. And so you'll end up with a scenario happening around your life of you'll be wondering what's happened to you someday when you're waking up and things are all against you, and as the storms of life are coming, and you'll either stand knowing that you've got the security of who you stand on and in the Lord Jesus, or you will be shaken. So Jesus is clearly giving reference to warnings here. And then if you go back to 22, where he's basically saying, depart from me because I never knew you, and you're saying, well, Lord, didn't I do miracles? Didn't I prophesy over people for you? There's a scripture, and it says in Romans 11:29, for the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. So when God gives you a gift of prophecy, or gives you a gift that anoints you for works of service, you've still got that gift, even though you can err off and go off the track. We all know people that have gone down that route, and you thought, wow, what an amazing speaker, what an amazing prophet, what an amazing man of God, and a few years later you hear that something's happened. Something has come in and they've got taken out of the ministry because of a weakness that they have in their life. And then you hear maybe a year later, well, they're back, they're doing stuff, and they actually, it sounds like everything's all perfect and all rosy here because they're giving prophetic words and they're giving, they're doing ministry for the Lord. That part I leave with the Lord, because I'm not the one that's got to weigh up who they really are or what's going on with them really in their life. But what would be key would be the fruit. The fruit is your guideline in someone's life.
Yes.
So they may fall, but when the Lord says, "Depart from me because I never knew you," now in the New Passion Translation, that scripture says, "But I would have to say to them, go away from me, you lawless rebels, I have never been joined to you." The NIV is, "Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you, away from me, you evildoers." Now that is harsh. But the warning in this is, stay close to the Lord. Because in staying close to your relationship with Him, that is the key. That is your rock that you stand on. That's your foundational part you start to build your life from. It's all about you and Him. Because you never ever want to get to the point where the Lord's looking at you and say, "Well, I never knew you. Yeah, you did all that stuff, yeah. But I never knew you. Who are you? Did you ever talk to me?" And he's actually enforcing the fact this is a relationship. It's a relationship between a king and the brother and sister of the king. It's family. He's talking about family relationship. That you need to be in relationship with Jesus to walk life and to do it well. So the key is in the connection. If you let the connection sit and you start going back into old lifestyles, and doing things that you used to do and think, "Well, it's alright, you know, I'm saved a few years now, it's been fine." No, you're saved to do warrior tactics within this kingdom. You're not saved to drift. He never intended you to drift. It's us that drifts. So we need to stop the drifting and get back in line with the Blessed Father, because the Father is actually teaching us lessons about our lifestyle. And in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 30 it says, "For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep." When you get numb to the relationship of your Father, then you're opening doorways for other stuff to come out of your life. You end up getting into this numb scenario of, "Well, I've got a ticket to go to heaven, and I'm going to get in anyway because Jesus paid the price for me." And you're missing the whole point of why He paid the price. It wasn't so much for you, it was for everybody else. That's why He says, "Love your neighbor as you love yourself." If you don't love yourself enough to spend time with Him, the one who created you and paid a big price for you to be in relationship with Him, well then, you're actually, your heart's not in its right place. Yeah? Would you agree with me? And so you began to grow cold. And what does Revelation say about those that are cold? Say, so you're cold or lukewarm, He's going to spew you out of His mouth. Because that was never the desired intention of the Father. His encouragement is to, "Hey, come into a relationship with me, let's do life together," and out of life, we get to ask Jesus for things. Why would you ask someone you weren't in a relationship to give you a gift? That would be rude.
Yes.
But then that's the fact of life. If I'm really friendly with Peter and we get to hang out and we go out for a drink at night or something, we do life together, and I'm in a sticky situation, I know I could go to Peter and say, "Peter, I need help with this. Can you talk to me? Give me some advice? Or can you lend me 5,000? Prophetic word. I'll wait for the delivery of that. I call it in from the east. Call it in from Bransford. So, but I'm trying to make a point that out of relationship, I know I can approach Him. But if you don't have the relationship that we're meant to have with Jesus, it makes it more difficult. It's not His plan that we are not in the relationship that He calls us to be in. It's us. It's what's going on in here. It's what we allow in from the world to affect your heart that begins to shut down the very planting and the rooting of the life of God that came into you at salvation. And the enemy's tactic is to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. So what does he want to do? He wants you to slip back into the Broadway because you make it look so rosy and so, oh, it'll be good, I'll do that, that'll be fine. And yet the Lord is saying, no, come my way. There's a cost to following me. But out of the cost, the reward is far greater. And there's life that comes into you. And when the Lord promises in the scripture, I give you abundant life, that doesn't tie in with among you a weak, sick, and a number C. That is in conflict, those two scriptures. Because when the Lord promises us abundant life, he doesn't call us to walk in the, well, I'll just do life, and I'll just tired, weak, and I fall asleep. Because that's not his plan for us. His plan for us to have the abundant life that he promised. And the only thing that stops you getting it is relationship. It all bursts out of family relationship with Jesus and the Father. It's there for the taking. He's telling us in these scriptures, if you ask, he's going to give it. Now, so if you go back into chapter 6, there's a couple of things here. He actually speaks about fasting in chapter 6. He speaks of prayer, he speaks of fasting. And then, cure for anxiety. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat and what you will drink, nor to your body, as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor do they reap. They gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much worth much more than them? Do you get the immensity of what the Father's love and what he has brought treasure to give to you? And yet he's just crying out for a relationship. He's crying out for you to stop looking at just doing life. You're no longer here just to do life. You're here to do supernatural life. You're here to do a lifestyle of the power of the Holy Spirit in you, releasing out of you that impacts the people around you. There's so much more, folks, than just doing life and hoping that sometime some kind little person will come up and they'll be ready to listen to us about Jesus. And that's okay, because that's a comfortable way. We're not called to be comfortable. The Lord Jesus said that they hated him, they'll hate you too.
Absolutely.
There's cost involved in this, folks. But the rewards far outweigh the cost. When the church in China gets persecuted and grows, we need to get out of our sleeping nation. We need to get out of our beds in this nation and begin to inquire of the Father about what we do in this next season. Because this next season is going to be important, because how we live it will affect how we stand before the Lord. Now, I'm not judging, I'm just saying this is what the scripture is saying. So it's like the Lord Jesus with his disciples made it very clear to him, this is how you should live. And I'm just relaying the message of Jesus today to us who say that we follow his name. That we don't want to go off the mark or miss the mark. We want to hit the mark and we want to hit it hard. So there are 7 principles that I want you to just take a note of today. And basically one is daily prayer. You want to be talking to your Father. Daily prayer is not just a bunch of words to say. It's an interaction between a father and a son, a father and a daughter. It's you talking to the Lord Jesus Christ and him beginning to talk back to you. So it's not all about you talking. You talk, but you have time to listen as well. Because he's just as much as wants to talk to you as you want to talk to him. If I'm talking all the time to Peter, Peter's just going to go, oh my goodness, this guy never shuts up. You know, because it's all one way. It was never designed to be one way. Not in Bible terms, it's two way. The second thing I want you to do is fast weekly. take time a week to take a time, and should that only be one meal in the week, start there. But start to create a lifestyle of, I want to be around you more, and I'm going to do this because I want to be where you are. Fasting is not about twisting God's arm. It's actually about you saying, I'm prepared to give up a meal just so I get that hour with you, in intimate time with you, so we get to do things together, and you start building on that lifestyle, and then watch what actually shifts and happens. Because when you, there's something about denying the flesh what it desires.
Absolutely.
And saying, Lord, I'm doing this because I want you more than I want food. I mean, when we were in IHOP 2009-2010, this time 10 years ago, 9 years ago, we would actually do a lot of fasting because it's part of the lifestyle in that environment. And a lot of it, because there's various types of fasts, but one of the ones that they did a lot over there was what we fast as the Daniel fast, which basically you can have as much fruit and veg as you want, but just no meats, no sweets, and no treats. So you could have everything else and eat off that. So you could have large soups made up of beans and all that sort of stuff. So it's really healthy food, but if they'd taken it from the scriptures around Daniel, where it said that Daniel, when he was called in, was actually brighter and more alert and more accurate than the other soothsayers. And yet they thought he would be weaker because he was on vegetables and fruits. So that's one fast. The other one is then when you abstain just from food, and you have water only, you never do a fast and have no water, unless the Lord really specifically speaks to you about that, because your body will deteriorate after 3 days of without water, and you will put yourself and your body in a dangerous scenario, and that's not the Father's will. So fasting is an act that you take on board just as a sign to the Lord that you're desiring Him more than what your flesh desires, and it helps break your flesh over your mind and your body. And then there's that other one, which is another one, which is do justly. So do justly, what I mean by do justly, we're called to be justice carriers in the land. So whatever you see that's not right, you've got a godly authority to say, hey, how do we change that? How do I get involved with that? And it's that Micah 3, to do justly before the Lord. So we are called as light to actually affect the governmental systems around us. And one of the best ways to do that is actually prayer. And then listen. And the Lord may give you keys to actually how you approach your local councillor, or how you approach someone in a governmental authority around this region or this area, even this nation. It's not impossible. If God opened the door for me to speak to Bruno P, the Queen's Royal Pageant Master, for all of her events in the UK, that happened just like that. And I got a phone call from him, and he's asking me questions about the bell. I'm speaking to him. You just don't know when you're in tune with God where God takes you and who you connect you with. And He's far greater doing those connections than we are. But the availability in us and our communication with Him is what begins to open the door for it to happen. And then fourthly, give extravagantly. It's like the farmer who sows because he expects fruit. He expects something to come back out of the ground. So out of the produce, out of your income you're giving, don't forget to give extravagantly. So, if you feel prompted when you're in a petrol station to go and pay for the person's petrol who's just pulled in and starting to fill up, and you go inside the petrol station and you stand there, you pay for your own, and then, oh, by the way, could I pay for pump 7? The guy says, really? It's not your car. Doesn't matter. I want the paper, but we want them to know. Really? Who are you? Ding, ding, ding. If you really want to open that one up, you've got a right door there to actually go right in and speak to them. But most times you think, no, I need to get out of here before that number 7 comes in to pay. So they don't know who I am. And so you do it so the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing, but you just bless their life. And who knows that that person maybe had forgotten their wallet that day and were walking in and were actually going to panic mode because they had left it at the house. But you've blessed them and they've got the benefit of that. Someday that will come back to you and somebody will do that to you. So there's an extravagance that we get to live out because of the Father. Because if we truly believe that the Father says, when you ask me, I'll give you. And if you need money, and like Rob said, ask, it comes to you. So it changes your perception and brings you back into alignment. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life, about what you wear, what you eat, what you drink, what you need. Because if your Father clothes the grass and a day so it later dies, it's gone. How much more is he going to look after you? You're his son and his daughter. He will care for you and he will fight for you. So don't worry about giving extravagantly. Don't give out of what you don't have. So don't go borrowing from the bank and taking out a loan so you can give it to somebody. That's just not wisdom. You give out of what you have at the time. And it may cost you a little, but you're giving. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
What is it about us giving? We always have this money. But in actual fact, the Lord said it's clearly in Scripture, we don't need to worry about that. He's got it. And part of believing is allowing him to do what he wants to do around us and in our life, and then watch what happens. So there's something about giving on to the Lord and allowing him to actually take care of other stuff. Number five is live holy. What I mean by living holy, well, that's basically your lifestyle is what we've been talking about this morning, that you let your light so shine that it impacts the people and this area around us. So we've got a light that he's given us. We've got this little faith that Robert spoke about last week. That's the implant. And even in in verse 30 in chapter 6, it says, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You have little faith. Take that into perspective with what Robert was saying about the little faith. It's not saying, oh, you've got really little faith. No, it's saying you've got little faith, and the little seed of faith you've got is enough to move mountains. So he's actually saying you don't need to worry about all this stuff. It's in you, and he's given it to you. It's freely been given. We got to freely give it. So we want to live holy because of what the Lord has transformed inside of us and made us who we are. We want to live life and live it well in the community so that people get to think, wow, there's something about them. That couple that are sitting down in the street, now, there's something about them, but I don't know what it is. I must stop them someday and ask them. Because curiosity and people will stop you, Laurie and Susie, and say, what is it about you guys? I see you in town, you look. There's something about you guys. I feel something about you guys. What is it with you guys? And so you've got the golden ticket of opportunity to say, well, let me tell you, you got time for coffee? Come on. And so you just begin to share who it is and what God's done for you and what he's about to do in the rest of your life. That sows perspective into a person's life that doesn't know God. And it shifts something in them because the Spirit of the living God in you actually is impacting their spirit because they've come into your arena. And it's because you're light. You let your light shine and it begins to brightly shine. So we want to be living as a holy nation, a royal priesthood. We want to live as how we're intended to live. Not in the broad way, but in the narrow way where we become an attraction to people and think, I'm going to be on the same boat as them. And then you bring them and invite them to come in to a narrow way which finds Jesus. And then you want to lead diligently. You want to, by that I mean, take the initiative. This is where it really hits the road. Because we're not good at taking initiatives. We'd rather that somebody come up to me, oh, tell me about this friend of yours that you say is Jesus. And it's all nice and safe and we don't actually have something in our face called Christians. You know, that puts everybody on a back foot. Now, even if that happens, you got to step back from the recoil of that attack. Take a few seconds and ask, Holy Spirit, what's really going on here? Why is this person so aggressive? What's going on in their life? And see if the Holy Spirit won't reveal something to you that will actually just shift what's going on in their life. be the answer that they've actually been looking for. An actual prophecy would come in really handy in a scenario like that. So, but we've got to be ready in all seasons and all occasions for what God wants us to do. But we've got a message, so we need to be diligently offering it to people as well. Every opportunity we get, whether it's a simple act of kindness or picking up a bag that somebody's dropped, or picking up an elderly person's stick who hasn't really got the ability to reach right down to the ground anymore and take it. But you can, because you're younger, step over, there you go, bless you. Simple little things like that change the atmosphere around a person's life, and it's actually loving the one next to you. Yeah? And then lastly, speak boldly. You have the testimony of Jesus inside of you. You have stories that we just shared this morning that you can share this week with someone you meet. There needs to be this boldness rise up in us because of a relationship with Jesus, that actually what we've got, what we've been given, and what we have actually just wants to ooze out of us. And you can't help yourself, because you've shifted from just being little old me doing life with Jesus until he comes back, to actually someone that knows Jesus, someone that talks to Jesus, someone that hears his voice. And that shifts something in you, because it raises the giant of who you are in the kingdom of God, and you begin to know who you are, and you begin to be more confident in saying, when I get an opportunity, Lord, I want to use it. I want to be a blessing to someone. I want to speak into their life. And if you give me a word for them, Lord, then I will declare it over them. And if I need to get an opportunity to pray for the sickness that they've got, then Lord, use me. Don't send him. Send me, Lord. Get that Isaiah 6 into your mentality. Here am I, Lord. Send Peter. You know, it's great things, but send Peter. I don't want to touch that. But send somebody else. And he said, no, I've blessed you, the same Holy Spirit in you that's in Peter. Why can't you go do it? You're the one that I've prompted. So you go do it. Allow the promptings to actually come into you and ask for them. If you ask, he'll give. So if you haven't actually had a chance to lead anybody to the Lord, say, Lord, this week, let me lead someone to you this week. Let me bring them into the kingdom of the Lord. Any hands, brother? it's in us, folks. But most times we're so scared of getting things wrong, we're so scared of people being aggressive towards us, that we're actually silencing our voice. You're not called to be silent. You're called to be declarers of truth. You carry truth. It's in you, and it's in you for others. And the Holy Spirit that's in you is the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. There's power. You carry power. You're not the weak one. You're not the tail. You're called to be the head. You're not meant to be the tail that somebody grabs and flicks around you, and you've got no control of what they're doing. No, stop that nonsense. God says you're the head. You're not called to be thrashed around and made to feel stupid. What you carry is so powerful, so prominent in your life, that we need to bring it to the surface and let it out. Amen?
Amen.
So will we let it out this week?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. Jesus is good.
Andy?
Yes?
We look at those post banners every week, and I was just looking at that absently, reading those words, and I just seen that. I just, arise, shine, people of the cross.
Yes.
The top of that one, and I feel that's what, you know.
Yeah, this is what we're called to do.
Get up and actually shine. You know, mm-hmm. That's what we're meant to be doing.
And that's key as well, for me to live is Christ.
Yes.
It's something about us dying to ourselves. That's why fasting is a good practice to get into doing.
Yeah.
It's not a ritual, but it's just a way of life that you create before the Lord. And you don't need to, you don't have to, he's not putting pressure on you to. And whatever you choose to do is down to you. So, but there's a principle involved in it that actually releases something inside your spirit when you put it into action. So it's a healthy thing to have in your tool belt of doing life with Jesus. Yeah? And that's why he took so much time with the disciples, to prepare them and make them see that it's that there's stuff here that you need to be ready for. There's fruit, good fruit. The bad fruit may come along, but then you'll know the source of where it's coming from, because it's going to be so obvious. So you don't need to be worried about it. So we've got to be on our guard, but we don't get carried away with fear. Oh, I can't do anything because I'm so fearful. Forget that. That's nonsense. That's the enemy playing on your mind to shut you down before you even start. when you need to be feeding your mind is with what the Lord says about you, who you are in Him, and then stand on the rock, Christ Jesus, and declare who you are, that you are a demon slayer, that you are a buster of the kingdom of darkness, that we're here, that just as much as He's here to steal, kill, and destroy, we're also here to do the reverse to Him. Every time that someone comes into a relationship with Jesus Christ is an attack on His kingdom.
Yes.
I'd rather be attacked in His kingdom than have him be under attack from Him. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. I want to live for Jesus. And that's why I encourage us all to live for Jesus. Because He's worth it. Every bit of it. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Let me stand.
Can I have one more thing to fast?
Yeah.
Nowadays it's really hard to fast from your cell phone because that's become like addiction.
Yeah. So that's another form of fasting. Media. Fast media. I tell you, a really good fast that's really hard to do. Negativity.
Yeah, I'm going to say
it. Try for 24 hours.
Criticism.
I don't to speak any negativity about anybody else. And then you'll realize, crumbs, I do that really quite a lot. Without even realizing.
Or even yourself.
Yeah.
About yourself.
Yeah, about yourself. It all impacts. So, yeah. So, Father, we bless today. Father, we ask you bless this week that you're taking us into. Because it's your season, it's your environment. And we get to walk in it because of the privilege of you giving us the breath that we breathe. So we thank you, Lord, for breath. We thank you for life. We thank you, Lord, for the salvation that we carry inside of us. That you are the Lord God Almighty that birthed something inside us. And now we ask you jointly here this morning, Lord, stir up the gifts that are within us. Stir them up, Lord. Let them bubble up, to a point of overflowing, Father, Lord. We impact people on the left, people on the right, people in front of us, and people behind us this week. By what we carry, and that's you, Jesus. So we say, Lord, that when we spend time with you, Father, our ask is that we don't leave that place thinking, well, you never spoke anything. But actually, you fulfill your word, Lord, because you've declared it, and you don't lie. So when we come into the secret place and we start spending time with you, Lord, then, Father, that we would be still enough to hear you, and we would actually begin to develop that whole system of living out life with you, Father, as a child of the living God. Knowing who we are in you. So we bless us all this week with an abundance, Father. We bless our finances. We bless increases at work, of job changes that bring increase. Father, we call them in, Lord. All the blessings of the Father upon his children, we call them in over our lives this week, that we see shifts and changes, that we get blessed by. But by being blessed, Lord, we don't forget who you are and what you desire us to do. To be the lights and to be the people that go and share what you've done for us. The stories that we carry, we get to tell to others. So we bless this week in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So be blessed.